You are listening to The Evidence Locker. Our cases have been researched using open source and archive materials. It deals with true crimes and real people. Each episode is produced with the utmost respect to the victims, their families, and loved ones. Jessheim, Norway, 1990. The room is dark and smoky. And the crowd is waiting, chanting with restless anticipation. A pig's head, pegged on a stake, stares at the crowd from its position, next to the gargantuan speakers on stage. Tension rises as the first members of the band, Mayhem, strut onto stage, ready for theatrics and anarchy. All band members are dressed in black. They have long hair, and their faces are masked with makeup, white to make them look like the undead, with black patterns around their eyes and their mouths, a look better known as corpse paint. Lead singer, known by fans as simply Dead, belts out some death growls as lead guitarist Euronymous and bass guitarist Necro Butcher pummel the metal on their instruments, and drummer Hellhammer attacks the drums. Dead's prop is a 3-foot or 1 meter wooden crucifix, which he throws onto the front of the stage as the crowd cheers and headbangs to the aggressive rhythm. The music builds up into a frenzy of metal, drums, and lyrical growls from Dead. Darkness is growing. The eternity opens. The cemetery lights up again, as in ancient times. Fallen souls die behind my steps by following the freezing moon. Yeah. Then the moment everyone came to see. Dead grabs a hunting knife while the music booms on. He lifts it into the air as the crowd screams. Then he holds out his right arm and cuts himself. Once, another time, and a third, blood gushing from the wounds. He cuts his other arm too and sprays his blood out onto the ravenous crowd. They go insane. Loud cheers, loud growls, with open mouths and licking tongues. Dead. He did it again. The sound and performance style Mayhem created became synonymous with Norwegian black metal in the 1990s, which was a sound that influenced the genre across the world. Norway was to black metal what Seattle was to grunge. But behind all the smoke and mirrors of evil theatrics, bigger problems were brewing. Within less than 2 years, the band would lose two of its most important members, Dead and Euronymous. So what led to the violent deaths of these two black metal musicians in the prime of their careers in the early 1990s? Christian Larsen Vikernes was born on the 11th of February, 1973, in Bergen, Norway. He had a brother who was 1.5 years older than him, and his parents were well-educated professionals. His father was an electronics engineer, and his mom worked for a large oil company. Later in his life, he changed his name to Varg Vikernes. He also had gone by the stage name of Count Grishnach. We'll elaborate on all that a bit later, but to avoid confusion, we shall refer to him as Varg Vikernes throughout the episode. When he was 6 years old, Varg's family moved to Iraq. According to Varg's own account, his father worked for Saddam Hussein as a computer programmer. As there was no international school in the area where the family was situated, Varg had to go to an Iraqi elementary school. He would later remember that it was there where he became aware of racial matters, having been the only blonde and blue-eyed European boy in his class. At this school, as at most Iraqi schools, especially in the late 1970s, early 1980s, corporal punishment was an acceptable form of disciplining kids. But because Varg was culturally different, the teachers did not hit him This created problems between the other kids and Varg. Varg stood up to a teacher and called him a monkey. He was not punished for this, and perhaps had his first taste of ridiculing authority. When the family returned to Norway, Varg blended back into society, but a fire had been lit inside of him. He felt superior to others, but did not quite know how to channel it. When he was about 12 years old, his parents divorced. He never talked much about his father later in life, but he did remember his old man had a swastika flag at home, and recalled during an interview that he became pissed about all the colored people he saw in town. Varg felt his mother, Lena Bora, was also quite race-conscious, fearing that Varg would one day come home with a black girl. The chances of this would have been slim, as in 1986, when Varg was in his early teens, non-Western migrants only made up about 3% of Bergen's total population. When he was 14, Varg started playing the guitar. He had short hair, liked dressing in army fatigues, and took a keen interest in weapons. He liked Germans and hated the British and the Americans. He was considered to be a skinhead, although he would later comment, "There are no skinheads in Bergen." Bergen is Norway's second largest city, after Oslo. It's not a very big city. In the mid-1980s, its population was just over 200,000. It is a beautiful harbor city, with colorful wooden buildings dotting the waterfront. The city is known for its university, making it a breeding ground for free thought and radical ideas. Varg Vikernes was intelligent and ambitious, but also very much a nonconformist. Although Bergen has a strong Protestant church-going community, it wasn't quite Varg's scene. He loved Old Norse mythology, a complex pagan religion that was practiced by the Vikings. The world of Norse mythology consisted of 9 worlds, connected by one central tree called the Yggdrasil. There are multiple gods, of which the most well-known ones are Odin, Frigg, Thor, and Freya. The world of Norse mythology came alive for Varg in the fictional realm of Middle-earth in Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. The character of Gandalf was influenced by Odin, god of wisdom and poetry, truth and knowledge. Varg liked drawing symbols, like Odin's eye, Valknut, a symbol associated with the transition between life and death, and the swastika, or sun wheel, a Norse symbol of luck, holiness, and power that was documented long before it was used by the Nazis. When he was 17, he became acquainted with the Bergen death metal band, Old Funeral. He played guitar on their EP, Devoured Carcass. It was the beginning of a prolific career as a musician. In 1991, Varg was ready to do his own thing. He started a one-man music project, which he called Burzum. The name Burzum, which means darkness, was inspired by Lord of the Rings. The fictional black speech inscribed on the One Ring read, "One ring to rule them all, one ring to find them, one ring to bring them all, and in the darkness bind them." His musical style is a rebellion against traditional song structure. He also insisted on recording while using the cheapest and crappiest microphone he could find. Anti-establishment defined. In 1992 to 1993, Varg Vikernes recorded 4 albums as Burzum. Some music historians say his albums played a key role in the development of black metal. Sam Dunn, director of the documentary Metal, A Headbanger's Journey, described Varg as the most notorious metal musician of all time, which, in an environment of Satan worship and onstage self-mutilation, is no small feat. Varg was also asked to join Mayhem, one of Norway's biggest black metal bands at the time. Burzum was still alive and well, but now he was part of the main game. Again, calling on Lord of the Rings for inspiration, Varg chose his stage name, Count Grishnak. Grishnak was an orc in the Two Towers. Orcs were evil and hated everything and everybody, especially the orderly and prosperous. He became known simply as Greven, Norwegian for Count. Varg commented on his stage name. "It's an arrogant name, setting yourself above all others, telling everybody what to do." Unfortunately, when it came to working with Mayhem, he could definitely not tell everybody what to do. The founder of the band was Øystein Aarseth, a.k.a. Euronymous. His stage name was inspired by the Greek mythological underworld demon who served as the spirit of rotting corpses. Oystein owned the label that produced Mayhem's albums, Deathlike Silence Productions, and he also had a shop in Oslo called Helvet, Norwegian for hell. The store mainly sold records and CDs from Oystein's own label, and band members of Mayhem worked in shifts behind the counter. But Helvet was more than just a record store. It was a place where black metal musicians and fans congregated. The term this black metal inner circle used to describe themselves was the Black Circle. All of them, in the chaos of anarchic belief, led by Oystein. He was definitely a dominant figure, and most people were quite scared of him. Most people, except the young guitarist Count Grishnak, Vard Vikernes. He saw through Oystein's mean image, and felt he wasn't a good businessman, or worse, a poser. Varg saw opportunities to promote black metal and to boost sales, but Oystein did not want to hear him out. In fact, he was afraid that black metal was in danger of losing its underground status, and that Varg, or the next young and ambitious musician, would make it more commercial than it was ever meant to be. But their differences were put aside when tragedy struck in 1991. The lead singer of Mayhem, Swedish-born Per Olin, known as Dead, took his own life. He was always obsessed with death since childhood when he had a near-death experience. After an ice skating accident when he was 10 years old, he suffered a ruptured spleen and literally saw the light at the end of the tunnel before he was resuscitated. His obsession with death was the driving force behind his onstage persona, Dead. He would bury clothes in soil before a show, then dig it up and wear it. Even offstage, he was exploring elements of death, reading about it, finding dead birds. He loved everything about death, the shock, the stench, the horror. On April 8, 1991, Oystein returned home to the house the band shared outside of Oslo. Dead had slit his wrists, and then somehow managed to shoot himself in the head. It was a violent and bloody scene. Oystein realized the importance of this incident for posterity, so instead of calling police, he went into town to buy a camera, returned to the scene, and took multiple photos. Although black metal celebrated death and used names and symbols depicting elements of death, most artists knew that it was just an act, theatrics to invoke fear. When Mayhem's bass guitarist Necro Butcher heard about Oystein's actions, he was disgusted. Oystein called me up the next day and says, "Dead has done something really cool. He killed himself." I thought, "Have you lost it? What do you mean cool?" He said, "Relax, I have photos of everything." I was in shock and grief. He was just thinking how to exploit it, so I told him, "Okay, don't even fucking call me before you destroy those pictures." Some people in the black metal community believed that Oystein actually killed Dead, but those closest to both of them were adamant that that was not what happened, as Oystein was out of town at the time of Dead's death. Dead left a brief, polite suicide note, which included an apology for all of the blood. The note read, "Excuse the blood, but I've slit my wrists and neck. It was the intention that I would die in the woods so that it would take a few days before I was possibly found. I belong in the woods, and have always done so. No one will understand the reason for this anyway. To give some semblance of an explanation, I am not a human. This is just a dream, and soon I will awaken. It was too cold, and the blood kept clotting. Plus, my new knife is too blunt. If I don't succeed dying to the knife, I will blow the shit out of my skull." He then proceeds to give instructions about money and songs that he had written. One of the actual photos taken by Oystein was later used on the cover of Mayhem's album, Dawn of the Black Hearts. These guys took the fear and a lack of respect for the dead, and the living for that matter, to the next level. Their concerts were frightening, but their fans loved it. To become recognized as a movement, the Norwegian Black Circle decided it was time to take the terror off the stage and into society. On the 6th of June, 1992, Fantoft Stave Church in Bergen burnt down to the ground. An architectural treasure dating from the 12th century was reduced to a heap of ash. It was only to be the first in a trail of churches that would set the Norwegian night sky ablaze in 1992. Between August and October, churches were burnt down in Stavanger, Oslo, Vindafjord. But the greatest statement was the attack on Asan Church in Bergen on Christmas Eve. Hours later, on Christmas Day, a church in Sarpsborg was set alight. This fire took the life of a firefighter. By January 1993, 7 major wooden medieval Christian churches, or stave churches, had been burnt down. The Black Circle knew that Count Grishnach, Varg Vikernes, was the instigator. Øystein was supposed to be the leader, but he never did anything near as bold and daring as that. The metal community reveled in it, found it entertaining. Øystein should have been the metaphorical fuel to the fires, but everyone knew he never really did anything. He was all talk and no action. He loved the image of being a fearless leader, but he was neither fearless, nor was he a leader. Norwegian media tried to make sense of the burnings that scarred their country's heritage. The assumption was that the fires were started by Satanists. They hate Christians enough to burn down their churches, right? Young teenagers who followed Mayhem and Burzum and other black metal bands were drawn in by the notion that the band members were Satanists and they were taking over Norway. Everyone with long hair and dark clothes playing in a metal band or just listening to the music was labeled to be a Satanist, and they were proud of it. It was rumored that Bard Goldvik Athun, or Faust as he was known, the drummer for the band Emperor, joined Varg and Øystein on several missions to burn churches down. Faust would later claim that he was no Satanist. He burnt churches because he was angry. In August 1992, with churches burning down every other week, Faust also killed a man in Lillehammer. According to Faust, 40-year-old Magne Andreasen propositioned him as he was walking home one night. Faust agreed, but as soon as they reached the woods in Olympic Park, he took out a knife and stabbed Magne. Again and again and again. 37 times. With Magne bleeding out on the ground, Faust then kicked his head. The day after the killing, he burnt down Holmenkollen Chapel with Varg and Øystein. He told them what he had done, and soon rumors about the murder started floating around the Black Circle. Police suspected Magne's murder had something to do with the black metal community, but it took them a year to get enough evidence to arrest Faust. He had no remorse and described the incident as an impulse killing. He simply wanted to know what it felt like to murder someone. "I was outside just waiting to get out some aggression. It's not easy to describe why it happened. It was meant to happen. And if it was this man or another man, that's not really important." In January 1993, a month after the Christmas church burnings, Varg arranged an anonymous interview with one of Norway's biggest newspapers, Bergens Tidend. The idea was to promote Helvet and black metal in general by scaring people. In the interview, he said that he was responsible for burning down the churches, and one of his friends killed a man in Lillehammer. About this interview, Varg would later comment, "I exaggerated a lot, and when the journalist left, we had a good laugh, because he didn't seem to understand that I was pulling his leg." The interview landed him in jail for 6 weeks. Varg could not be happier. This kind of publicity was exactly what Norwegian black metal needed. Although he denied any involvement on his arrest and blamed the journalist for informing police about his anonymous interview, he was suddenly Norway's most notorious man. Photos of Varg with his long hair and pale skin, posing in chainmail, holding knives and other weapons were all in the newspapers. The media declared in jubilation, "Satanists caught." It was simply assumed that Varg and the Black Circle were Satanists, like their British counterparts, extreme metal band Venom. To quote Varg Vikernes, "It was all about demonizing a movement. They wanted us to be Satanists." The result was horrific. A whole new movement grew out of the terror spread by the media. 15-year-old copycats joined in and burnt down more churches. They would graffiti hexagons or 666, but they didn't get what the burnings were actually about. Because there was no evidence against Varg, police had to release him. He denied involvement in the arsons, but said that he supported it. He also denied being a Satanist. His philosophy aligned more with paganism. Odin, Freya, Thor. That is Norwegian tradition, not the old churches. Varg felt that Norwegian history had nothing to do with Christianity, and he was simply righting the wrongs of the past. Varg claimed that Fantoff Stave was built on top of a place where Norwegian ancestors used to welcome the sun. Christians chased the pagans out and built a church right on top of the original site. An interview with Michael Moynihan explains Varg's Norwegian nationalist rage. I'm not going to say that I burnt any churches, but let me put it this way. There was one person who started it. I was found not guilty of burning the Fantoff Stave Church, but anyway, that was what triggered the whole thing. That was the 6th of June, and everyone linked it to Satanism. What everyone overlooked was that on the 6th of June, year 793, Lindisfarne in Britain was the first known Viking raid in history, with Vikings from Hordaland, which is my county. The Christians desecrated our graves, our burial mounds, so it's revenge. For each devastated graveyard, one heathen grave is avenged. For each 10 churches burned to ashes, one heathen hof is avenged. For each 10 priests or Freemasons assassinated, one heathen is avenged. He denied it, but Varg and other members of the Black Circle were behind the fires. They knew it, police knew it, the Norwegian people knew it. Years after the fact, Faust, who was with Varg and Øystein when they burnt down Holmenkollen, echoed Varg's philosophy. It was like taking back the land. It was no worse doing now than what it was in the year 900. It was after his release that he changed his ironic name of Christian Vikernes to Varg Quisling Larsen Vikernes. The name Varg is an Old Norse word that loosely translated means wolf, evildoer, or destroyer. The Quisling pays homage to Vidkun Quisling, Norwegian Prime Minister in Nazi-occupied Norway. After the war, he was tried for high treason against the Norwegian state. Quisling has become a substitute word for traitor in Norway. When asked about the name change, Varg said, "I am a man of many names, and I like that. It is a Norse tradition to give names to people as they suit them, as you view them. Thus, we all have many names. Odin, as an example, has 149 different names in the Edda poems alone." Øystein, on the other hand, wasn't quite as nationalistic as Varg. He also never denied being a Satanist. And as the original leader of the Black Circle, most people still believed that Satanism was the main motive in burning down the churches. Everyone was paying attention to black metal, and all eyes were on the mothership, Øystein Stor Helvete. But instead of reaping the benefits and boosting sales in the wake of the negative attention, Øystein decided to close the store. Varg later said that Øystein was pressured by his parents to do so. Øystein's reaction to the interview and Varg's incarceration infuriated Varg. The interview and the consequences thereof was all part of a big publicity stunt, and Øystein didn't follow through. Varg felt that he went to prison for nothing. Øystein made a public apology for the destruction on behalf of the black metal community. This did not go down well with hardcore black metal fans, as they felt the foundation of black metal was to go against societal niceties like apologizing. Øystein had egg on his face, felt embarrassed, and blamed Varg for being in the position he was in. He never wanted to be a big commercialized movement, rather an underground, closed group, a cult even. Varg had decided to start his own label for future albums, which meant he was moving away from Øystein's label, Deathlike Silence. Øystein owed him money, and Varg felt he wasn't doing enough to promote Burzum. Varg threatened to leave Øystein's label, but Øystein screwed him over and found a loophole in their contract. This loophole proved that Øystein owned the rights to Burzum. The only way Varg could get out of the deal was to produce his next four albums under Deathlike Silence's label. Varg was furious, and Øystein wouldn't budge. He had had enough of Count Grishnok Varg Vikernes. He mentioned to many people around him that because of Varg's drive to commercialize the black metal movement, he had to go. Most of them thought that Øystein was serious, that it wasn't simply an idle threat. At the time, there was a rumor that he had poisoned a Polish journalist who wanted to do a story about Mayhem for a fanzine. The guy went to stay at the Mayhem house outside Oslo. When a month had passed, they realized that he was a freeloader and was squatting with them. So Oystein started giving him poison. Before long, the man was gone, and no one, in Norway at least, ever saw him or heard from him again. So when threats were made against Varg, many people from the black metal scene felt that he had good reason to fear for his life. Oystein's plan was to capture Varg, immobilize him with a taser gun, put him in the trunk of his car, drive him deep into a forest where he would tie him to a tree, and torture him while recording the whole thing, making a snuff film out of it. Varg overheard a phone conversation between Snorre Roch and Oystein in August 1993. Snorre was one of Mayhem's guitarists at the time and was also known as Blackthorn. He lived with Varg in Bergen and allowed Varg to listen in on the call. Oystein said that Varg had to disappear for good. He had a couple of ideas about how he would do it, confirming stories Varg had heard from other metal people. When Oystein insisted that Varg sign his next contract in his presence, Varg believed that was part of the plot to kill him, to create an opportunity to be alone with him. Varg wasn't about to back down and decided to confront Oystein about the threats, to shut him up for good. On the 10th of August, 1993, Varg and Snorre Roch traveled from Bergen to Oslo and went to Oystein's apartment on Toyen Street. They arrived at 3 a.m. in the morning. Oystein was sleeping, and at first, he did not want to buzz them into his apartment building. When Varg said that he had brought a signed contract with him, the gate buzzed, and the two metal guitarists went upstairs. When Varg went into Oystein's fourth floor apartment, Snorre stayed outside to smoke a cigarette. Varg shoved the contract into Oystein's face and told him to fuck off. Oystein responded by kicking Varg in the chest. Then he turned to go into the kitchen. Varg thought he was fetching a weapon, so he drew his own knife, stopping him. A scuffle ensued, and they knocked over a glass lamp. Oystein fell onto the glass, cutting himself, bleeding everywhere. Snorre was at a loss and could not believe what he had witnessed. It all had happened so quickly. The two strongest figures of the Black Circle was coming head to head, and this was clearly going to be a fight to death. All the rage and hatred between the two welled up inside Varg as he attacked the man that used to be his friend and fellow band member. The fight moved outside the apartment, onto the stairwell. In the end, Oystein had 23 stab wounds, 16 to the back, 5 to the neck, and the final 2 to his head. The knife was so deeply embedded into his skull that Varg had to use his foot to level it out. He left the 25-year-old Oystein's body on the stairs, where he was left to die. Varg and Snorre went to Varg's car and drove off. They stopped at a lake to dispose of Varg's bloodied clothes before they returned to Bergen. The next morning, Oystein's death was headline news in Norway. At first, the general feeling was that Swedish black metalers were responsible for the murder. Oystein had sent a number of death threats to some of the more mainstream death metal groups in Europe. There was also a story that a group of Norwegian black metal fans plotted to kidnap and murder certain Swedish death metal musicians. Police suspected Varg, as everyone knew about the bad blood between him and Oystein. But Varg had an alibi. Snorre Roch lied and said that Varg was in Bergen at the time of the murder. Bergen is over 300 miles. It's more than 500 kilometers away. Police backed off, but in the end, Snorre buckled under the pressure and told police the truth about what had happened that fateful night on Toyen Street in Oslo. Crime scene technicians also found a bloody fingerprint on a stairway railing outside of Oystein's apartment. The print that matched Varg's fingerprint. 9 days after the murder, Varg was arrested. A newspaper heading read, "Count's fingerprint found in blood." Varg did not deny killing Oystein. He admitted, "Initially it was self-defense. But when he started to flee, I was no longer in a life-threatening situation. So at that point, it was no longer self-defense, but voluntary manslaughter. And I saw it as a preemptive strike to prevent him from getting a second chance to kill me." On the day of Varg's arrest, police found 150 kilograms of explosives and 3,000 rounds of ammunition at his home in Bergen. Varg said the explosives were intended for Blitzhaus, a radical leftist and anarchist enclave in Oslo. Some people in the Black Circle believe that Varg had killed Øystein because Øystein would have prevented him from bombing Blitzhaus, as Øystein was a communist. Varg Vikernes and Snorre Ruch were tried together. Snorre was charged for his part in Øystein's murder, as he was the one who drove Varg to Oslo, and he also did nothing to prevent the murder from happening. Varg had come to Snorre's defense, stating that he had nothing to do with Øystein's murder, simply that he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. For his part, he was sentenced to 8 years in prison. Snorre's case was wrapped up in 3 days, and all eyes were on the devil incarnate, Count Grishnak, Varg Vikernes. Firstly, the court addressed the church arsons. He was found guilty of burning down the Stortveit and Asan churches in Bergen, Skjold Church in Vindofjord, and Holmenkollen Chapel in Oslo. Although he was charged with the first church arson back in 1992, that of Fantoft, the jury found him not guilty as there was not enough evidence against him. The trial lasted for 3 weeks, and in the end, Varg was convicted of the murder of Euronymous Øystein Arseth. He was sentenced to 21 years in prison, the maximum penalty for murder in Norway. In a moment that defined the trial, when the verdict was read, Varg gave a sardonic smile, looking straight into all the cameras that were pointed at him. The same month Varg was sentenced, Mayhem's album De Mysteries Dom Satanas was released. The album features Euronymous on guitar and Count Grishnak on bass guitar. Øystein's family had asked Mayhem's drummer Hellhammer to remove the bass tracks recorded by Vikernes, but he refused and said in true black metal style, "I thought it was appropriate that the murderer and victim were on the same record." With Varg in prison, the Norwegian public felt safe to sleep at night again. At least the church burnings could stop, and they could put the time of terror behind them. Unfortunately, they were wrong. After Varg's conviction, the burnings intensified, with as many as 7 churches burnt down in a space of 5 weeks. Between 1992 and 1996, a total of 50 churches were burnt down in the whole of Norway, scarring its landscape forever. While in prison, Varg released 2 albums. As he was denied access to instruments, he only used a synthesizer. In 2000, he decided to stop recording, blaming his ignorant fan base, saying his philosophy was constantly misinterpreted as black metal and Satanism. He spent his time in prison reading and developing his ideologies. He said that it was like living in a monastery, which is ironic, as that would make him a monk who burnt down churches. Either way, Varg crafted his own ideology. It is a blend of Norse mythology, racism, and occult national socialism. In 1997, he published a book, financed by his mother, called Vargsmal. He later said that the book was written in anger. He was young and isolated, and the book reflects his state of mind at the time. He coined the term odalism, which he describes like this. In it lies paganism, traditional nationalism, racialism, and environmentalism. Where modern civilization exists, fueled by capitalism, materialism, and globalization, odalism has not been tainted by history. It is a pure form of living, returning to traditional paganism and native European values and belief systems. Not imposed Christianity, which he sees as a spiritual plague, mass psychosis, that is like handcuffs to the mind and spirit. Varg was considered by some as the founder of the Norwegian Heathen Front, an organization that promotes traditionalism. He denied ever being involved with the organization, let alone starting it up. In 1997, Varg's mother, Lena Bohr, and 4 known National Socialists were arrested for allegedly conspiring against the state of Norway. A year later, she was in hot water again when a plot to break her son out of prison was exposed. In October 2003, Varg decided to take action himself. A family was traveling through the Buskerud County when a man flagged them down. The man was Varg Vikernes. he forced them out of the car at gunpoint, and once they surrendered the vehicle, he drove off, leaving them stranded on the side of the road. When Varg failed to return to the low-security prison in Tonesburg, police were alerted, and it did not take long to track down the stolen Volvo. At first, the car wouldn't stop, but pressed between two police vehicles, he was pushed off the road and forced to stop. Varg was found in the car with a knife, a gas mask, camouflage clothing, a laptop, a compass, a GPS, and a fake passport. Varg said that he feared for his life in prison as another inmate tried to strangle him. He did not receive any leniency for his escape attempt, and an additional 13 months were added to his sentence. He was also moved to the maximum security prison in Trondheim. In May 2009, after serving 16 years of his 21-year sentence, Varg Vikernes was released on parole. On his release, he went to live on a small farm in Bo, Telemark, with his family. He had a wife and two children at the time, with a third on the way. His wife is a French national, Marie Cachet. Before leaving Norway to live in Limousin, France, Varg changed his name once more to Louis Cachet. In France, they expanded their family. The man of many names, Christian, Varg, Louis, the Count, has fathered seven children. Varg and his wife were arrested in Cariz on suspicion of terrorism in 2013 when she bought four rifles. She had a legal permit and they were both released. A year later, Varg was convicted of inciting racial hatred against Jews and Muslims. He was sentenced to 6 months of probation and fined 8,000 euros. He is a teetotaler and claims to have never used alcohol, drugs, and pharmaceutical drugs. He is very vocal about his views and speaks openly about the conflict between him and Øystein Aarseth, and even about killing Øystein, on his YouTube channel called Thulean Perspective. The channel has over 200,000 subscribers. In the end, one question does remain. Who is the real Varg Vikernes? Is he an intellectual who has lost the plot with his far-out philosophies? Is he a blatant racist or a Nazi? A Satanist, perhaps? Or simply the last angry Viking of Norway, displaced and yet alive in the wrong historical climate? If you'd like to read more about this case, have a look at the resources used for this episode in the show notes. Also, visit and like our Facebook page at facebook.com/evidencelockerpodcast to see more about today's case. If you like our podcast, please subscribe in Apple Podcast or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts. We would also appreciate if you could review the episodes as it gives us some street cred in the world of podcasting. While you're waiting for our next episode, why not listen to one of our podcasting friends?
Hi, do you love true crime podcasts but feel like maybe you've heard all there is to know about well-known cases like Ted Bundy, Jeffrey Dahmer, and BTK? Or maybe you've watched The Bridge or other Nordic noir crime shows and you're intrigued by Scandinavian gloom? We're Scream, a Scandinavian true crime podcast.
Every week, we, that's Lette and Inc., talk about different true crime cases from Scandinavian countries. Cases that might even be new to the most seasoned true crime enthusiasts. If this sounds at all intriguing, look us up on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. That's Scream, spelled S-K-R-I-M.
Scream. This was The Evidence Locker. Thank you for listening.